WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. And Nika, I'm going to be honest. We've already talked so much before we even started recording. I don't want us to have to rehash everything that you just mentioned, but can you just give a quick PSA to encourage our listeners to have light-colored sheets and the purpose for that? And we will bring some context into this just a little bit, but I feel like the world needs to know.
World needs to know. Yeah. So it kind of actually, my education started in the mid-90s. I got bit by a spider on my neck in my sleep. And the reason we knew it was a spider is because at some point in the night, like, I slapped at it and then we found it dead in the bed. But I had dark colored sheets, like, mm-hmm. you know, in the mid 90s, it was all about the hunter green and the burgundy.
Yes, it was.
You know, mm-hmm. And so I had a physician tell me, you know, get rid of dark colored sheets, you know, get light colored sheets, make it to where a spider would not want to crawl into bed with you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't want to feel exposed. So if it feels like it can hide, you know, in dark colored sheets. And then also, you know, put a lot of light in your room and clean out from underneath your bed. So it just doesn't make it conducive to spiders to want to hang out in your room. And so I've always done that ever since I was 13. And I'm a smidge older than that now. And I got bit by a spider in the bed other night on my ear. And it's been, you know, Not fun city.
Well, I hate that you had to go through that. Number two, I'm really glad it was not a brown recluse and your earlobe has not, like, turned black and fallen off. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, this is just so good for everybody to know, like, okay, how can we make our bed space not look like it could be a fun, like, blanket fortress for bugs?
And I think especially in Alabama, you know, with it, you know, southern yellow pines and pine straw and just all kinds of, you know, we have lots of spiders. Just, you know, clean out the clutter underneath your bed. Make your room white and bright and airy so that spiders don't want to live, you know, in there. I really don't know. I thought I was doing all the right things. So I don't know what happened.
Maybe that spider was just a daredevil, you know?
It fell off the ceiling. Yes. I don't know. And the thing is thankfully, I'm not afraid of spiders. Mm-hmm. So this isn't creeping me out as much as I know those with arachnophobia out there listening or just dying right now.
Yes.
Had it been a snake or a lizard or something like that in my bed,
your house would be burned
down. It would already be gone. Yeah. It would be completely leveled and we would just start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how did your girls feel about this? Like, I don't know if they have the heebie-jeebies about bugs. Like, I feel like your girls are pretty brave where they're the ones, like, your girls don't, mind getting their hands dirty, like, you know, playing outside. So I feel like they could be a little bit more adventurous, but I don't know if your recent experience has freaked them out.
My oldest one is okay about it, but my youngest one does freak out about creepy crawly things. She's scared of butterflies. My 7-year-old is scared of butterflies. Okay. She does not like anything that flies, crawls, nothing. You know,
it could just fly in your face, you know?
I'm just saying. She'll get hysterical. I didn't tell them that really. I was just like, hey, I got bit by something. But I didn't really go into it because I didn't want to freak them out. But thankfully, their beds are loft beds.
Yeah.
They have the white sheets, lots of sunshine in their room. So I'm about to, you know, I spray for bugs, but we're about to go all in on the spraying for the bugs now.
Well, I appreciate your mom discernment to not freak them out and not be fully transparent about
what
happened.
They would never
go
to bed. I mean, can you imagine bedtime every night?
It is what it is now.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
And to let them think that a spider could be in there with them? No, they would. And they don't want to crawl in the bed with me because I am spider central, I guess. I don't know. So, I mean, I guess we could sleep in the car. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want that for you.
No, thanks.
And I feel so weird that we kicked off the show like this. So if you're just now tuning in and you're like, why are they talking about spiders?
Right.
Like, you know, do we have, you know.
It's my preventative PSA moment.
Yeah. Do we have folks from, like, the Arboretum coming to today and talking about like, you know, nature things. Not necessarily. We actually have a really great show
today. I'm pretty excited about this.
Yes. So, and we're about to have to take a break. I'm just going to leave it as a teaser for our listeners. We're going to take a quick break and then we are going to introduce our multiple guests. I'll go ahead and shout out here. We have 3 guests, y'all. So you're probably like, oh, my Lanta, like what is about to happen?
But no more spider talk. So if you're scared of spiders, just after the break, come on back, listen in. You'll be highly entertained.
Yes, absolutely. You are listening to Fit to Be Time with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
Yes, you are. And if you're just now joining us, that's actually probably a good thing because we did go a little rogue as we normally do in our intro. And so we'll just have to tell you, go back and listen to that if you're really curious about what we were just talking about. But today we are actually going to be talking about Druid City Derby.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to do Derby, Nika?
I don't know if I'm brave enough.
Yeah. No, I'm like, am I tough enough?
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be listening and thinking the same thing, like, is this for me? And so really we're hoping today sheds a lot of light, especially with our guests. So without further ado, I do want to introduce our 3 guests. We have Holly Groff, Daniel Ryman, and Olivia Garner. So hello. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yes. And so I'd love for y'all to kind of take some turns and introduce yourselves. And Holly, we'll kind of kick off with you.
I'm Holly Groff, and better known on the track as Hollandaise. Been playing with Druid City Derby, I think 2017-ish, something around there. I don't know. I'm terrible at dates. I had to text the wife on the way over and say, what year did I start playing? Because I never remember those things. Ask her. I'm terrible with anniversaries and dates. So, with Druid City Derby and skater and also a coach for a junior team and also officiate some. And, you know, we have to do all of the everything of a volunteer-run organization, so also a couple of terms on the board.
Hey, you know, just a little bit of everything. All hands on deck situation.
Yes, I like to wear all the hats.
Yeah, absolutely. Danielle?
Hi, I'm Danielle Ryman. I'm also Sadistic Sweetheart, or Sweetie, is what they call me for short. I actually started in August. My kids all play too. I have 3 on the junior team, and my oldest, Olivia, she's here today. She is transitioning onto the adult team as well.
Very nice. Olivia.
Hi, I'm Olivia Garner, Trauma Queen, or T for short. I've been playing on the junior roller derby team since about August, and I will now be transitioning into the adult team.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Super excited as a coach to start having some of our juniors aging up here. It's kind of exciting there.
Yeah. So how old are you?
I'm 18.
18, okay.
As of like, just recently.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that we were, Nika and I were mentioning before we started this segment, knowing that you guys were going to share your derby names, how do you come up with them?
We get to choose them.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes they're bestowed upon you. You know, our league is definitely about choosing. So, you know, mine is not super aggressive or like this anything, but definitely bodes to the dietitian food service in me with Hollandaise. Yeah, and Eggs Benedict was always the specialty on holidays in my family. So when someone suggested that name, it definitely absolutely stuck. I was like, that's me.
That's you.
So Hollandaise it is.
I love that.
It took me forever to pick mine, but it eventually my friends came up with it because I am a sweetheart to everybody. But if you rub me the wrong way, I can be mean.
So okay.
Add in the Sadistic Sweetheart, and it was perfect.
So how did Trauma Queen come about, Olivia?
I'm a very dramatic person.
Okay.
I live for the drama, but she said something about my mom had mentioned Trauma Queen for, you know, roller derby, and it sounded tough.
Yeah.
So you just went with it, and it kind of went with my number.
Okay. What's your number?
It's 1738, and the song Trap Queen by Betty Walt kind of went with it.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah. I got more about your derby name than I knew here. I like this.
Yeah, like we're learning all the things.
Uh-huh. I am learning all the things. So what got you interested? How did you stumble upon derby?
I was a friend of a friend. I was one of those kids who loved the skating rink like way back in the day in middle school. That's been more than a few years now, but loved the skating rink and had also grew up playing team sports and really missed that. We don't always get that as an adult.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I had really, really missed that in my life. So when a friend of a friend brought it up, it took a little encouragement because I was a little nervous there for sure. So it took a little encouragement. Finally got up the guts and went to a recruitment night and been there since.
There you go.
Very nice. And then how about for y'all, Danielle and Olivia, I got to chat with y'all a little bit before the show started, and I think y'all had mentioned that you're actually not originally from the Tuscaloosa community. So, you know, I'd love for you to kind of share, like, coming into Tuscaloosa, and then how did y'all get plugged into Derby?
Okay, well, we're from Southern Illinois originally. My husband works in the coal mines, and so he transferred here. Mm-hmm. So we just up and moved. And we moved during COVID, so we made no friends. It was lonely for a long time.
Yeah,
so tough. Yeah. And then we go skating all the time because I grew up skating and loved it. And at the skating rink, we saw a flyer for recruitment night. So I talked her into doing it because I didn't know adults actually did it anymore. So I was like, you should do it. You should go out. She's like, okay, I'll do it. So we went to recruitment night and I had all my kids with me. And so she goes out there and then one of our other players, Ghastly, she came up and she's like, well, what are the boys doing? Do they want to do it? I was like, oh, I didn't know they could, but sure. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we want to go. So they went out. And then so now I have three out there and they joined. And then she's like, well, what about you? Have you thought about playing? I was like, oh, I didn't know I could.
Oh, my goodness.
So then I went to the adult recruitment night the next week. Okay. We've all been there ever since.
Like, just the power of, like, a recruitment flyer.
Right.
Kind of going old school.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And there it is. And, Holly, you're an OG to the team. I would consider
you. Not quite,
you.
But yeah. I'm one of the more vets now.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you give Nika and I some historical perspective on the Derby, and especially with just, you know, kind of, I guess, like, in its iteration now?
Yeah, here in Tuscaloosa, we're only been around since 2015. So really still a very new team. So super proud of our team and where we're at. And not just our team anymore, our league, because we have multiple teams with the juniors too. Started with some folks who had played Derby in other areas. Kelly Wolf, a Salty Senorita, and Megan Gunter, Valhalla Back Girl, got together and, you know, started some interest meetings and couldn't find a place to practice to start with. So the Barnes YMCA was one of the first practice. They didn't even have enough room for a full track in the gym, but they were awesome enough to be a community partner and let us start practicing there. And then started practicing, you know, other places in town. And now we get to have our bouts at Bobby Miller Center, part of the Parks and Recreation para facilities here in town. So we're glad to be a community fixture now.
That is so
cool. I'm just like, I don't know. I guess I'm just geeking out, like, because it's just so interesting to me because it's a world that I'm not a part of.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can bring you in.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners out there who are maybe new to Derby, like, what is it? What, you know, what's the description? It kind of, you know, paint them a picture with your words, if you will.
I'll let you take that.
Okay. Let's see. They're going to throw it back to me here. Let's see. You always want to say it's a full contact sport. It's like football. No, it's not, because there's no ball. So that's the first thing, is we always confuse folks with that. But we are on a circular track. We do play on a flat track. We play flat track derby. So there is bank track derby, like you've seen on maybe Whip It or, you know, something like that. But we play flat track derby. So we're all on quad roller skates. We've got our safety gear on. There's no throwing elbows. It definitely is a full contact sport, but we're not throwing punches and elbows. You've got two teams out there. You've got four blockers per team, and then you've got a jammer on each team, and they're designated with a cover on their helmet that's got a star on it, and your jammers are the ones that do the scoring. So they take off through the packs, and you get points as you pass the other packs, the other people in the pack. We base position on hips. So as you pass the hips of the other skater, then you are earning points there, but you are playing offense and defense at the same time as a blocker there. So you are both trying to help your jammer through, and you are trying to
jammer out.
out.
Yep.
Not the Jammer House.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I know in just a second we'll have to go on a break, but what position, Danielle and Olivia, do y'all normally play? Like,
I am a blocker.
Okay.
I don't have the stamina yet to be a jammer.
Okay.
Yes, I like that keyword. Yes, that's an important word in there.
I plan on getting there, but not yet. I've done a little bit of both, but I'm more of a blocker.
Okay.
Better at it.
Okay. Nice. I'm like, what would I be? Nico, what would you be?
If you just said the word stamina, then that's not me. I have to be a blocker too.
Yeah. I'm like, hold up. I feel like, and I'm Nico, I'm going to go ahead and like plant this in your head. Like by the end of the show, we might need to come up with what our derby names might
definitely
be. So I'm just planting that in the back of our head, but we've got to take a quick break, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone with Sheena and Nika, and we have the Druid City Derby ladies with us today.
Yes, we do. We are blessed to have three guests with us today to talk about their experience on the Derby. And so if you're just now joining us, we definitely encourage you to listen in on the beginning parts of the show just to kind of know a little bit more about the story of our guests, Holly Groff, Danielle Ryman, and Olivia Garner. And, you know, really now would love to kind of transition to, you know, we talked a little bit about game logistics for Derby, but now I think Nick and I we're kind of curious, how do you condition yourselves for the sport? Y'all just acknowledge that it takes some like stamina and endurance, you know, full contact sport. So I'm just like, okay, how do y'all prepare yourselves?
Right.
You know?
There is no preparation, no.
I didn't realize how out of shape I was until I started. I really was. But practices, the two-hour practices, we do some conditioning exercises in there and a lot of stamina exercises there too. But I also join the gym, mm-hmm. and I try to go at least three times a week to that so I can build up muscle and endurance.
Nice, knock some people out.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
How far would you say in a game, mileage-wise, you skate?
Sometimes, well, the idea is to slow the other, especially if like Sweetie and I and T mostly blocking as well. Sometimes we're playing some offense there, mm-hmm. but a lot of times we're trying to slow them down. So really, we're not trying to move that fast. But let me tell you, like muscles engaged blocking during is a, it's not like just cardio skating endurance. It's a different level there. So depends on what you're doing in the game a little bit as to how much you are. We do have, it's not a standard that our WFDA Women's Flat Track Derby Association is the governing body that we play under, and at least our adults do, and they used to have a standard of 27.5. You had to do 27 laps in 5 minutes, as it used to be a basic skill. So you're booking it.
I wish you could see my face right now.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what did you just
say? So, you know, in a game that's, if we're going that fast, then actually something's gone wrong with our strategies there.
Okay.
But we do have to pass that skill because it is a quick game. And I think I'm kind of like Sweetie. We put that once I started, it like spurred me into doing a little bit more. So I think we've probably got everything on the team from the 4 hours of practice a week is probably most of their physical activity, which kudos to them because, you know, we're up and we're doing something. And, you know, I think that's awesome to folks that, you know, maybe we're already super active to begin with. And then some of us that it kind of like re-spurred some, hey, I want to be a little bit more in shape to do this some more. So,
well, and as a side tangent, I love that because, you know, we always encourage people who think of exercise as a dirty word. They're like, I don't want to go get on a treadmill. I don't want to go swim laps. You find something fun and those 2 hours fly by.
Yeah.
And then you wake up in the morning and your glutes remind you that you were doing something yesterday.
Yep.
So,
I'll be real honest. After that first recruitment night, you try to squat to use the restroom the next day
nice.
And those quads holler at you. And it was like that for a while.
Yeah, it's like you had fun yesterday. Now you're going to
pay. Yeah.
Yes. Oh
love it. So,
So other than the like 27 laps within 5 minutes, are there other types of requirements that, you know, that are utilized to kind of determine like somebody's ready to be like, you know, an active member in about?
Oh, yeah. There's laterals. You have to be able to do laterals.
What is a lateral?
Well, it's where you turn your feet sideways and you skate to the side as quick as possible.
So you got to know how to skate pretty well, which is why I'm thinking.
You don't have to. Yeah, when you start, you don't have to. They train you from, really? You can't even skate. Yeah. They will train you how to skate and up.
Okay, so that's good to know. Yep.
Okay.
And let's see, T, if the junior coaches did our job, what was the very first thing you learned?
I think the very first thing that I learned was crossovers and how to like properly skate.
Okay, well then T could obviously skate to start with. Usually we start with standing and falling. And safe falls. Falls are actually really important.
About that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we really do start super basic. Yeah. Like derby stance and how you stand and how you fall. You know, because we do wear protective equipment. We try to avoid those falls on the tailbone. So you learn to fall forward on those knees.
So I love that for our listeners who have, you know, their ears are perking up, but they're like, don't need an emergency room copay.
Yeah.
You do. Y'all get the training. I love that.
Yeah. It's a full contact sport. There's always risk, but we definitely, we have a sets of minimum skills. So Sweetie actually advanced really fast. It's, in fact, we were in the same pack at the our season opener. So I was super happy to have her in a pack because she's great to play with. So had lots of fun. I think we work really well together.
Yeah.
And then so we all have to have set of minimum skills before we get to full contact. And then our juniors actually bout at multiple levels. So like T, what you started off like with actual play at level 2. So can you explain level 2 just a little bit?
Level 2 is not full contact just yet. You have to like stop before you make contact with the other players. So it like slowly introduces you into the like full contact of the sport in the game.
Mm-hmm. And since there's a lot going on the track, you start to get that, like, you know, like we said, offense and defense at the same time. It kind of helps with some of that transition. So our juniors actually play at both levels 2 and 3, which 3 is just like adult derby and full contact, but our juniors work up through that. And then our adults don't play at that, but we also structure kind of your introduction to drills. As you get to move up in what types of drills you're doing, then it's a similar skills check off there.
So what kind of blocks are legal and illegal? I'm like, because I'm just thinking about like, what can you do? What can you not do?
So you can't block to the back because that would be unsafe. We don't want, you know, folks going face forward. That's fine, etc. But basically between the neck and the knees in, on the front side is legal to make contact to. And you can make contact with all of those areas, and your arm above your elbow is legal.
Okay.
So, but once we get to elbows, it's illegal. But
so we can't throw bows.
Neck to knees. No. Nope.
Cannot
nope.
throw bows.
No throwing. Now, when we're blocking, I can trap you essentially in my armpit pocket if I'm doing a good job there.
So you can headlock someone.
No. They can't lead with their head. Safety first.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I'm gonna probably, lack of a better term, side meat. I'm going to trap their side meat in my armpit.
Your side meat.
That's really nice, huh?
I would like for you to use that. The next time you are feeling threatened at a gas station, walk up to the perpetrator and say, try me one more time, and I'm going to lock your side meat in my armpit.
That's it.
I love it.
They would go running.
I love it. Okay. So is this a year-round sport? Like, do you take some time off?
Or? We do. We generally take a little break, like Thanksgiving to New Year-ish time, because breaks are important, and want to avoid burnout and keep it fun. But we essentially bout all year. Our home bouts for all of us this year, adults and juniors. We started in March, and we'll go through November. Will be our last one. So we have. Most months we have one a month. I think we've got 6 home dates this year. And our juniors, technically their season runs from September through. That's the start of their season. And if We've just started branching into some competitiveness that's, you know, going to take a little while for our junior team before they're super competitive, but they're doing awesome. Their competitive season really runs January through May.
Okay, nice. So, you know, Holly, I know one of the last times we had you on this show to talk about the Derby, I feel like that was pre-COVID. And of course, you know, during that time, we didn't necessarily have the junior teams as part of the Derby. So when did that, I'm actually curious, like, when did that start? And I guess who kind of planted the idea for having the
junior? We've been thinking about it for a long time. Folks that had on the team that had kids, you know, see that kid at the skating rink, the kids that come to the bouts that are interested, and didn't have one here in town. And our sister league of the Steel City Slayers that are over in Birmingham, the junior team over there, they had some transition they were going through and actually came over and started practicing for a little while with it, which was the start of our junior team, which was only not quite 2 years ago now. So it was, it's very new.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, so we brought in that, they're 10 to 17.
Yeah.
Are the age range that we take. Some teams will start younger. We start at 10 and, our junior team is an open gender team. So like T is playing with her brothers there too.
Yeah. No, I'm geeking out.
I'm
y'all.
Learning so.
Yeah. We've got to take a break y'all, but, don't worry because we still have our fabulous guests with us for the rest of the show. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. And we have Hollandaise, Sweetie, and T here with us today. And if you don't know what that means, you need to go back and listen to the rest of the show because we have had some really great information with our wonderful guests today.
Yes, we have. And so, you know, with Druid City Derby, so excited to be talking about it today. And I actually just thought of something. You know, I think, Holly, I can't remember if we talked about this when you were actually on the show with us before or if it was just kind of in passing at another event, because I think I'd made the comment to you of like, oh, I'd like to do this, but I actually just had a baby and I'm breastfeeding. And you told me a story, I think, about somebody with a league in Mississippi, and like the homegirl was like on the track and then would like go over to the side and breastfeed her baby real quick then like roll back on.
We are all, you know, there's all walks of life and all types of folks. And we're all in, you know, all in our different stages of life of where we are. So absolutely, it's something that I think especially I like to pride Druid City Derby that we fit into some of those lifestyle types of things and definitely embrace that. But absolutely, wherever you're at, and we like to build up also on skills of things. Mm-hmm. So like we talked about, whether it's, you know, you're coming back from having a baby or you're currently, you know, breastfeeding or you're in shape or you're not in shape or whatever the case it might be, then we like to... We like to have a place for people and to build up to that. And, you know, I was not in very good shape when I started, and I spent over a year before I bouted of checking off my skills, which was not completely atypical there. Sweetie.
Took me 6 months for my first bout.
So she was actually a pretty accelerated timeline there. Yeah. And
I grew up in the skating rink, so.
Yeah, that definitely helped.
Skate.
Yeah. So those who might want to join, there's no pressure to feel like, hey, you better get up to this kind of speed or you're just go home. There's no pressure.
No,
like
they
that.
Work at everybody's individual pace. So if you take 2 years before your first bout, that's fine.
Okay.
They work with you wherever you're at.
And even if you don't want, full contact, we also need officials. So our officials are also, we have skating officials, you know, so it we've got, what is it, 7 skating officials and 11 non-skating officials per game to officiate. So it's a really heavy need for officials there. So we have folks that are on skates that they still need a lot of the same skills. And then, of course, they're working on rules and hand signals. And believe it or not, whistling is its own skill. Try a rolling whistle that's required for that non-skating official position.
I
and
know.
Then if if you really just want to be with a what I think is pretty cool group of people, then we also take non-skating officials. We need non-skating officials. Yes, so happy to have folks that just want to, you know, be a part of the awesome group and be around the sport and maybe be back in a team sport environment, but maybe being on skates is not for them anymore.
So if someone wanted to dip their toe into just watching it, where can they come watch this action unfold? Can they? Is it open to the public?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our next home bout is April 27th at Bobby Miller Center on 69 South in the Tuscaloosa area. And we'll actually have three bouts that day. We've got triple header again. So we'll have our sister team, Steel City Slayers, are kicking off the day playing Atlanta Roller Derby junior team at 12:30. And then 3 o'clock, you'll see our Druid City Daredevils junior team in action. And then at 5:30, let's see, Druid City Daredevils are playing Vet City, I believe. And then our adults are playing Peach State at 5:30.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, how far have y'all traveled for away bouts?
Let's see. I think the furthest I've traveled, not with Druid City Derby, with a state team was Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I'll go to Michigan with the state team this year.
Oh, wow.
And then
We went for the juniors was Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Our juniors were just in their first tournament. So
that was a fun one.
That is awesome. Now, as a volunteer organization, I guess now I'm just thinking, like, how do you raise the money to support what you do? You know, do your members find that because they love and they're committed to this, like, it does take, you know, putting in, you know, some of their own finances to really make this happen? Kind of what has that looked like for y'all as an organization?
We pay dues, which essentially covers our practice space is the most. So I think Sweetie said she was super happy to have the whole family, except for maybe when she gets that QuickBooks dues invoice there. So we do essentially cover our practice space. And then we've got a lot of really awesome supporters in town. The community has really embraced us. And then we'll be out there doing some traditional fundraising too. So we got some Boston butts coming up for sale soon, you know.
Okay.
So
we've got to
do it all.
Okay.
Yep.
Now I'm thinking about the time that we have with y'all, and you know what I think I'm getting from this, and Nika, I feel like you're picking up on this too, is I can tell probably a lot of people are joining for having that sense of community and really kind of feeling like y'all are a family. And is that, would that be a correct assumption?
Oh, yeah. Even in 6 months time that I've been there, I feel like I've known them forever, and everybody's welcoming, everybody's friendly, and it's a great environment.
So we're you know, feeding the social part of us, but also the physical. I'm loving it. I'm loving that you're having fun and you're exercising and you're not really realizing that you're exercising. Because I feel like that's a big thing for us today, trying to find the time to nurture a hobby, but be around friends and be physical. And this is just all rolled into one.
Oh, yeah. And then if you're doing some like additional time in the gym to really like help your skills during practices, like even just, you know, thinking of it in that phrasing of like, oh, this is strength and conditioning for my sport, as opposed to, well, I'm going to exercise.
I'm just here wandering around aimlessly. It's like I'm going in here because I got to make this quad stronger so I can sit down on the toilet tomorrow.
I'm 43, so for me, yoga is also really important because I need the flexibility. Those hip flexors are not super happy after practice if I'm not taking good care of my body there. Yeah, so
I pulled a lot of muscles.
And I think it's also helped me find like what type of activity I like. Yeah. So like I remembered I like being around people. So maybe I'm not going to go like hop on the treadmill or like, you know, go do something individually, but maybe like a group exercise class at the rec center is more my jam because I feed off of other people.
Sure,
so
right.
Like something where I have energy of other people, you know, so and that's nice to like figure out whether you're that solo person or whether you're that group person. I'm a group person.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, T, for you as part of the junior team, and I know you're about to make that transition to the adult team, what would you say to listeners who maybe are interested in joining that junior team, but they're a little bit nervous? Like, what are some words of wisdom you'd want to share?
Definitely don't be nervous. Like, everyone is so welcoming. I'm welcoming, like she said. I went in, and I made so many friends just on the first day. I took my time with it all. Mm-hmm. They helped me through everything I needed to know. And I moved up pretty quick, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, just have fun and be yourself and don't be scared.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I like it. Now, who makes a good, I don't want to say audience member, but yeah, audience member. Like, do y'all encourage people making like signage for their favorite like derby member? Like,
do you like a lot of screaming and yelling?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what kind of energy level do we need to like bring?
Yeah, so Sweetie and T were just talking about the tournament in Thibodeau, which the Daredevils were playing in, but also a couple of the coaches played in a mashup like mixer where people from all different teams just, so I was playing, there's people from all over the United States, actually Canada as well, that were playing that day. And me and one of the other coaches were in it, and so Sweetie in particular, they went signs. And made signs.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yes, and
I'm
every
that,
single
I'm that
jam.
Loud one. I like to yell.
We lost
signs.
Our voices on that game.
Yeah. It was awesome. And yes, that's the best. Like every single jam that one of us was out there, we could hear our people, and everyone knew what side of the arena our people were at.
Yeah. We love to hear the support.
Okay. Well, Nika, we might have to bring our kids to a bow to watch.
They can yell. I'll tell you that. We might want somebody to get behind, and they will yell and be all on your team.
Well, we might have to do that. And y'all, just thank you so much for being on the show. You know, we're about to have our last segment, but just the fact that you kind of shed some light on Druid City Derby. Holly, where can folks go if they want additional information about upcoming bouts or even just about the team to potentially join in the future? Is there a website you can
absolutely
share with us?
DruidCityDerby.com. You can find out about us there. And then on all the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah, check us out.
Well, we'll do. I've seen y'all on the tinsel trail too.
Yes, definitely. Have to have a tree every year.
Absolutely. Okay, well, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
Yes, and if you are just now joining us, let me just say, you got to go back. You got to listen to the rest of this show because we have been talking all about Druid City Derby today. And today we have had guests Holly Groff, Daniel Ryman, and Olivia Garner, also known as Hollandaise, Sadistic Sweetheart, and Trauma Queen. So
I love it. So that makes the question, Sheena, What would your derby name be?
I don't know. Like, I've been thinking about it, and I feel like I need something semi-food related. Like, you know, part of me wants to be like Sour Patch Kid because like I can be sweet, but I can be like a little sour.
Okay.
I don't know.
Combo in there. We'll see what happens. I have to massage that a little bit more.
I would say during the break, you know, as a throwback to like Ludacris and, you know, just my age, if I could do more than just put, what is your side meat if I could throw bows, I would probably be like, you know, bringing it, kicking it back old school, like DJ Dirty Elbows.
I like that.
Just old school to remind everybody of my age.
You might spend a little extra time in the penalty box, but bring it on.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh my goodness. Okay, so at this point in time, this is where we normally ask our guests like something kind of random. And just kind of in the spirit of everything we've been talking about today, I'm actually curious, like, what gets you hype? Like, what is your personal hype song? Like, whether it's like ready for a bout or ready just to kick butt for a day at work or school or whatever else, like, what is your hype song? And it can be a current hit. It can be something from the 80s. Like, what's just getting your energy level up right now?
I find it funny that you're talking about Ludacris because she plays travel softball as well, and that's always been our hype song before games or anything. We listen to Roll Out by Ludacris.
Roll Out!
So good.
We each got our own parts. It's our go-to song.
Okay. So would you say that's what y'all would both say?
Yeah.
My playlist will probably give you whiplash in the eclecticness of it. So there's a little bit of everything on there. For when it was 27.5 days, Enter Sandman, because I don't know, that's my, that's not necessarily my pre-bout, but that was definitely my 27.5 song. It's also about just, it's almost 5 minutes long, so it like works perfect.
Yeah, okay.
It's also a pretty good tempo for it.
Yes,
there you go.
Now, do you, okay, so like in your office, like if I were to come like near the like, you know, Airmark or Bama Dining offices and like where you're, what I, could I hear like, could I hear that? Like
there might be some Metallica in there, but there's probably also, there's going to be a little bit of a mix of everything.
Yeah. Okay. And we can appreciate that.
Yeah. Like, I can totally appreciate
that. Yeah. I'm like, I look at you, Nika, and like, you're just like such a lover of music. And then like, you know, and we're all like similar in age. So I feel like just, you know, all of the like quote unquote throwback.
Yeah. Cause if you look at me, you would think I was a Swiftie or, you know, I mean, I loved the Britney Spears and everything, but now I, you know, like my go-to song is Outkast's B.O.B. Bombs Over Baghdad.
Yes.
I'm always going to go back to the old school hip-hop rap. Like, that's just my jam. Oh, I love my Britney, and I love my NSYNC, but now we're going to do some Cypress Hill Insane in the Membrane.
Yes.
Like, we're gonna or Insane in the Brain. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, got to do a little bit of that. What about you, Sheena?
So I'm definitely feeling some Bobby Brown, like, My Prerogative right now. So, again, like, throwback.
Kind of around. I heard that on
I mean, Whitney Houston always puts me in a good mood, so it's on there too.
Yeah. So hopefully, really, you know, we're inspiring some musical selections. Again, thank y'all so much for being on the show. You know, I want to say, like, are there any catchphrases for the Derby in the sense that, you know, with like Alabama, we have Roll Tide, anything that's like kind of a like, I don't know.
The one and only DCD is our cheer at the end. Okay. Yes. So Dirt City Derby.
Okay.
The one and only DCD.
Well, y'all, be on the lookout for some DCD. Check out the website. Hopefully we see y'all at
Catch about.
I know. I'm like, we really need to coordinate.
Roll up hyped after blaring your hype song in the car.
Yep. Yes.
And come and cheer the ladies on.
Yeah. Go to their social media. Like, pick out a couple of the Derby members and make a poster for them. Bring all the energy.
We definitely love it.
Yeah. Well, with that said, thank you, listeners. You have been listening to Fits Be Time with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.